Welcome to Catholic Answers Live, the program where you participate with your questions about apologetics and evangelization, including the most important theological, spiritual, moral, and social issues facing the world today. Call now with your question for today's guest, toll free, 1-888-31-TRUTH. That's 888-318-7884. Now, from San Diego, Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. We have a big treat for you. That's the way I think of it, a big treat for you this hour. And we've got them before all the the big news people get them on the Fox Network or wherever else they're going to get them tomorrow, because the book drops tomorrow. Our guest this hour, Raymond Arroyo. Our topic this hour, and you know Raymond Arroyo from EWTN, the world over, and the news and all those kinds of things. And from every time there's big events around in the Vatican, you've seen him reporting from there. Yeah, so you all know Raymond Arroyo. And you probably know Will Wilder and from the Relic of Perilous Falls. And when I say the book drops tomorrow, the second book in the Will Wilder series, a series that we hope has many installments, The Lost Staff of Wonders, drops tomorrow. And that's why he's going to be on media all over. So we'll talk to Raymond about a whole bunch of things. We'll take your questions on the church in the news, and how Raymond approaches that. But I know you're going to also – and if you're young, if you're small, and you really would like to talk to the author of your favorite book, Will Wilder and the Relic of Perilous Falls, and your new favorite book tomorrow, The Lost Staff of Wonders, give us a call. 888-318-7884 is the number. That's 888-318-7884. Raymond Arroyo, thank you so much for being with us today on Catholic Answers Live.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm delighted to be with you.
And you're – well, you know what? One of the questions I've been wanting to ask you, so I'm just going to start here. But I think a lot of young people, especially boys maybe, I don't know, they're reading the Will Wilder, the first book, and maybe now the second book, and they're starting off as readers. And I think there's a little magic that happens where there's that one book that catches you as a kid.
That's true.
And I wonder what the book was for you.
You know, I think it's going to show, particularly for anybody reading the new Will Wilder book, Book 2. I have always been a fan of mysteries since I was a very young boy. And in fifth grade, I went to an all-boys school, a Catholic school, in New Orleans. And we had an English teacher, and this is a man who so changed my life. In fifth grade, he started reading us Ellery Queen murder mysteries. Now, most people will not even know who Ellery Queen is. It was actually a pair of authors who wrote this series together, and the detective was Ellery Queen. As it turns out, Brother Raphael was my teacher's name. He would start reading these mysteries, and I will never forget this particular one, and I'm sitting in a New York hotel right now, so it seems appropriate. It was outside of a hotel, I think it was in San Francisco, and every time a dignitary would step out, they'd hail a cab, and they would die, drop dead, and they couldn't figure out why the bodies kept dropping, all these dignitaries. And Brother Raphael just read that much of the story to us, and the detective shows up, and he closed the book, put it on the edge of his desk, and said, "Gentlemen, if you'd like to find out what happens, the book is here to be borrowed."
That's
well,
brilliant.
We elbowed and liked to pop each other across the mouth to get to the book. And I was the first one, because I was in the front of the room. So I was the first one there. I read that book and I was hooked. I read Agatha Christie, Conan Doyle, Nero Wolfe, still some of my favorite books written, the Rex Stout's Nero Wolfe books. So I became an avid murder mystery fan. So if there was a body dropping and a quirky detective trying to figure it out, I was there. And you know what drew me to it? I love the characters, but more than that, I love the sense of justice that always happens at the end of a good murder mystery. And so all of that, I in this particular incarnation of the Will Wilder series, this is a bit of a mystery. The staff of Moses goes missing, and Will has to figure out who has the staff, and more importantly, he knows there's this great ancient evil rising in town. There's a demon amongst him, but he doesn't know where the demon is. So there's a double mystery in this particular outing, Will's second adventure, The Lost Staff of Wonders, and I attribute a lot of it to Brother Raphael and that first love of murder mysteries.
And now, who are your – I know you have a group of – well, I don't know if editors is the right – or critics that you go to – before you even send these to the publisher. Like, you you let kids read them, or do you read them to them and get their feedback?
No, I have, what I do is I have my own little kitchen cabinet, or I guess you could call them literary assassins. My children and their friends I will assemble at times and read a few chapters to them as I go. And let me tell you, they will, and I read it to them, because I like to get the instant reaction. I can, you know, I'm an old actor, so I'm used to playing to an audience. So I can tell when it's working, when it's not. And the beautiful thing about children is they will come right out and tell you, that's boring, I don't like that character, why is he doing that? Will would never say that, you know. They will come right at you, and they really own, very quickly, young readers particularly, they own these characters, they love these characters, and bring them very close to their hearts. So they will identify and instantly tell you when you strike a false note or when you're off course. And they really helped me in the first book, the second one as well, but the first one they saved me from a lot of trouble. And these books are, you know, they work on multiple levels, Si. I'm writing for children. There's an adventure in the foreground, a supernatural adventure that Will, my 12-year-old protagonist, goes on. He has a supernatural gift. But in the background, there's a larger story playing out about families, about the legacy we leave to our children, and about the effect the past has on the present and the future. And I think the reason so many adults have taken to the series is because they've started reading it to their kids, or they buy it for their nephews and their nieces. And in the letters I get, they tell me, and I started reading it, or I got hooked on it, I bought my own copy, or I read it along with my, you know, the young person in my life. Because they're reading a different book. They're getting something very different. Even though it's the same story, there are things there the kids just won't get right now.
Right.
They will get them in time. And I think all great children's books have that quality. You know, I recently read Treasure Island again with my kids, and I hadn't read it since I was 12. So to read it again, you come away with such a different impression of these characters you thought you knew and the story you thought you understood. So that's great literature. It hits you at different times in different ways.
Right, right, exactly. Now, Raymond, we're going to get to talking about the news, and I know people are going to they associate you with that. But just another take on Will Wilder and what you, as a writer for children primarily, are doing in today's world. I do think part of what the Catholic Church offers the world is this understanding of the interior life that goes back centuries and centuries, all, you know, thousands of years into the beginnings of the faith and the Jewish faith and all that. This, and then it seems to me that what the world today does is primarily attack the interior life by denying people the space to build it, you know, with like children spending their lives with electronics and that kind of thing. What do you, as a Catholic writer, are you aware of that when you're writing, that this is something that happens in a book, happens in the interior of both the writer and the reader? It's like,
correct.
And it builds that interior life. And are you kind of aware of that as you're writing the books of trying to build up that healthy interior life for kids?
You're building an imaginative life. You're allowing a child to have an imaginative life that, which is something that a graphic novel, a television program, or a film, or a video, even a video game, can't afford you. Now, those things can also carry narratives and great stories, and there's lessons there for the fiction writer, and I've learned some of them from watching my kids play video games. The reason my boys are hooked on video games and their friends is not necessarily because of the gameplay. It's because these things are very sophisticated stories now. There are narratives with cliffhangers built around the gameplay, and you have to go through the game to get to the payoff of the story and to the next cliffhanger. So that's why they play through and they can sit for hours and play the game. It's not just like us playing Asteroids or Pac-Man, which is a repetitive gameplay that tires and bores you really fast. So I learned a lot about writing for kids, particularly at this age, from watching my kids play video games and their friends. So my books have a lot of cliffhangers in it. They're constant, you know, twists and turns and character reveals. These are things that emotionally and viscerally excite kids. They want to learn what happened. But yes, it's creating an interior universe. Also, there are two things that I wanted for this series. One Will Wilder is not like so many other middle-grade books where it's an orphan or an abandoned kid sort of running roughshod alone through the world. In the Will Wilder series, Will has an intact family around him. He has a mother, a father, his brother and sister. They have their own gifts. He has a great Aunt Lucille who becomes his mentor and sidekick through so much of these adventures. Because in my own life, my extended family were a big part of the journey I went on and continue on. And I often think without those mentors, without those their guidance, and at times their being an obstacle to what I wanted, I wouldn't be where I am today. And the series really is about how the past, how history informs and lights the path we're on now and can determine our journey. And because the history isn't past, it's alive, it's in the present. And that's really at the core of this book. It centers on relics and antiquities. And it also is about Will Wilder's great-grandfather, Jacob, and his legacy, and the great ghost of his life that stretches into the lives of all those who came after him. And that's all of our story in some way. So, yeah, it's a meditation in some ways on all of that, on family, on history, on our path in life. But it's also a great rollicking adventure because that's what keeps kids reading. And I know that. And I think that's why they come.
All right. Will Wilder, The Lost Staff of Wonders, is in stores tomorrow. So if you've read, if you haven't read the first book, The Relic of Perilous Falls, start there and catch up. You'll be happy you did. Raymond Arroyo is our guest. We've got lots of questions on the news that we will get to when we come back. If I don't get to those questions, Raymond, I'm just going to keep picking your brain for the whole hour. So I got to
look. I'll whatever you want to do, it's your show.
You're all right, Raymond Arroyo. 888-318-7884 is the number. 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live. We'll be right back with more with Raymond Arroyo.
Hello, this is Archbishop Alexander Sample of the Archdiocese of Portland in Oregon. Keep that dial right here on Catholic Answers Live.
The Christian faith is under constant attack today in numerous ways, but the attack that does the most damage is the one that asks a deceptively simple question. What if Jesus never existed? This is exactly the tack taken by some skeptics today, and make no mistake, the freewheeling and often fact-free nature of many internet sites has allowed this way of thinking called mythicism to spread far and wide. The skeptics come with arguments to cast doubt in numerous ways, attacking the dating and accuracy of the canonical gospels, and arguing the church left out other gospels that would have told a different story. The good news is that there are answers to each and every one of these charges. Good, solid answers. That's why Catholic Answer Studios has just released Jimmy Akin's new DVD, Why You Can Trust the Gospels. It's a powerful presentation in which Jimmy takes on the skeptics and refutes them point by point, revealing how evidence from non-Catholic sources and even tiny details in the Gospels that you've never noticed before show how the Gospels are a true and accurate record of what our Savior said and did. Order your copy of Why You Can Trust the Gospels today by calling 1-888-291-8000 or by visiting the shop at Catholic.com or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Catholic Answers Live is brought to you in part by CatholicSingles.com, the website for Catholics who want to meet others who share their faith and values for faith, fellowship, and love. You can learn more at CatholicSingles.com. Catholic Answers Live thanks CatholicSingles.com for their generous support.
Homeschool Connections, an online provider of courses for your Catholic homeschool, is a sponsor of Catholic Answers Live. Homeschool Connections' website is homeschoolconnections.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Welcome back to Catholic Answers Live. So happy you're here with us. 888-318-7884 is the number. I am Cy Kellett, your host. Our topic this hour, well, it's kind of a fungible or a flexible topic, let's say. The church in the news, and we have the man for the job, Raymond Arroyo. But yeah, if you had other things you want to talk with Raymond Arroyo about, you're more than welcome to do that. Raymond, I think we'll get to calls because they're starting to pile up here.
Okay.
Tim in Fayetteville, North Carolina, listening online. You are on with Raymond Arroyo. What's your question, Tim?
Hi. Thanks for taking my call. Given the big, you know, stuff in the news about same-sex marriages, I heard an interesting viewpoint. It's like a libertarian viewpoint. I was wondering how a Catholic should, whether they can support it or if they should just outright kind of say no, no, thank you. So the viewpoint is that the government should have no interference with anyone's personal life. So basically, it would just be maybe a tax break would be given to someone who says they're living with someone, a consenting adult, 18 years or older, regardless of sex or gender. And the argument that was like piqued my interest as a Catholic was, well, Catholics don't recognize like an atheist couple who got civilly married. So what's the difference? So how should a Catholic respond to that viewpoint?
Well, I mean, it depends on what you're talking about. If you're talking about, you know, gender-neutral bathrooms, you could take a libertarian approach to that, but you have to take into account the, you know, the rights and the difficulties that the gender assigned to that bathroom might have. In other words, if I'm a man and or a boy, and a woman who now identifies as a man suddenly comes into my restroom, do I feel uncomfortable standing there at the urinal? I don't mean to get too explicit, but you know, others' rights get impinged upon here, and sensitivities, and so that's why this becomes such a hot button issue. It's not something private like a marriage that's happening behind closed doors, and that, you know, though the state is recognizing it, you know, the fact is it doesn't directly impact your life. This actually does and might impact the lives of children and their well-being. So that's why I think it's a sensitive issue, and, you know, and you see so many people reacting to it the way you do. And I'm not sure if the libertarian response is necessarily the cure-all for what's causing the tension in the first place.
Thanks, Tim, and never let it be said that Raymond Arroyo shies away from graphic answers.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that. It's the first thing that came to mind. I mean, you know, you're talking about bathrooms. I'm not going to think of, you know, of a sitting room. So.
Well, you
brought it up. I'm just following through.
888-318-7884 is the number. Raymond Arroyo is our guest on Catholic Answers Live today. We go to Jane in Youngstown, Ohio, listening on WILB. Jane, you are on with Raymond Arroyo. What's your question?
Hi. Raymond.
Hi,
I have a question. Why aren't you on more frequently during the week with newer news shows?
Why aren't I on more regularly?
Yeah, why doesn't your news show, I mean, you've got 5 repeats during the week.
Right. Well,
about,
I'll tell you.
How about another?
There's a two-part answer to this. One, call EWTN. That's it. All I do is produce the show. I don't get to schedule it or you know, multiples or any of that. It has 5 airings because the type of programming we do, and if you watch the show, ours is really a weekly digest of the news of the week. It is not breaking news. I think it's a waste of time, frankly, to chase that dragon. I did that for years. I was a Capitol Hill correspondent. I worked at the Associated Press. You chase the dragon, and you don't always win because it's changing so rapidly, and you lack context and perspective. And the other thing is, when you have a daily grind and you're trying to chase the breaking news, you also don't have the time to do the thoughtful analytical interviews or pieces, nor can you get those interviews that really, I think, lodge in people's memories and hearts and can really make a difference. I would put my one Jerry Lewis interview or my one Benedict the 16th interview or my one Donald Trump interview up against anybody's nightly newscast any day of the week, all week long. Because I think there's more value in those individual interviews than anything you're going to see 5 days a week if I were running like a crazy man trying to catch the news. And the fact is, CNN, Fox, MSNBC, they're going to cover that breaking news better than a Catholic outfit can or a small, you know, outfit can, because we just don't have the ground crew. You don't have 500 people working on a newscast. So I always feel when you're covering news, you should cover it to win it, and find your specialty, seize upon it. And I hope what we're giving you, I told somebody this just today, as a matter of fact, I don't serve hors d'oeuvres. I serve main courses and entrees. That's what the world over is. It's an entree. If you want that, come and see us. If you want to go grazing and do quick appetizers that aren't going to fill you up, go somewhere else. They have that elsewhere. They've got thousands of channels and other shows, even on EWTN, that do that. But we don't. It's just not what I do.
Four of the five shows a week.
What?
So,
well, that's five opportunities for you to see it. I mean, if I get something great like a Jerry Lewis or a Donald Trump, everybody's not watching the first airing. So it gives you four other opportunities to watch it. And some people only watch on Mondays or on Sundays, you know. But and you know, we premiere on a Thursday night. So it changes. We do update the headlines. But the core interviews, you know, the marquee interviews, we leave those so that you can see them.
888-318-7884 is the number. Thanks, Jane.
Go ahead. Thank you for watching, Jane.
And Raymond, how often does it happen that you know, because you got to plan for these guests and be prepared, that the news is so, that you have something happen in the news that's so big that it might change your schedule? Does that ever happen? Oh, really?
Often. Yeah, I delay marquee interviews I'll have all the time, where we'll record it and I'll want to, you know, air somebody this week, and I end up pushing them back 2 weeks because there's breaking news, something happened in the church, or something major happened and we suddenly got a big newsmaker. So I have to bring them in because those are time sensitive. The others are more evergreen. So, you know, look, we've been trying to put a 20th anniversary show that I've literally been trying to put on the air since, I think, January. And we keep delaying it because news events crash in or other interviews that we have to air. So we're finally going to get it on this week.
Oh, good. The 20th anniversary show will show this week.
If God says the same. And the news doesn't. And I don't have a papal, you know, abdication or...
Oh, or that's right. Yeah.
Or a president knocking on my door. Yes, the 20th anniversary show will air then.
All right. Well, okay. Good. We got to get it in this year at least.
Yeah, well, I'm trying.
Well, we go to Colin now in San Bruno, California, listening on Great. Immaculate Heart Radio. Colin, you are on with Raymond Arroyo. What's your question?
Hi. Raymond, I've seen you speak before and loved your talk. My question today is, Marie Collins was an abuse survivor, and she was on the Pontifical Commission for the Protection of Minors to try and prevent sexual abuse in the church. She quit that this last week, saying there was a shameful lack of cooperation in the Vatican. And I was wondering what your take on that is. Is it just a PR problem for the church, or is there a lot of resistance within the Vatican to address sexual abuse?
Well, she is the second abuse survivor to quit that commission that Pope Francis established in the Vatican. And here's the problem. Look, I'm just going to report this cleanly. These are the facts. The Pope and the Church have been very vocal about wanting to end the scourge of sexual abuse, and they have taken great steps. Benedict XVI and a number of bishops here in the United States were very proactive. I believe Pope Benedict laicized something like 3,000 priests in his career at the CDF and as Pope. So he was no slouch in this area. The reports I'm seeing, and there are a number of them, Pope Francis has taken a slightly different tact. He, with his, you know, preferential option for mercy, has decided to extend mercy to some of these priestly malefactors, even priests who have been found guilty of some of this abuse. In the most notorious case that was reported recently, the Pope brought a man back into priestly function, restored his priestly function, even though he had been convicted, I think, in 12 separate abuse cases in Italy. So there is something of a disconnect here between the language and then the actions, you know, the penalty being accorded to these clerical malefactors. I understand the Pope wanting to extend mercy, but I think it's harder for these abuse victims to accept that, and it does send a bit of a mixed message. So this is, you know, again, this is nothing I'm reporting. It's everywhere. You can see this. So, yeah, there's a tension, and we'll have to see how that works its way out. Surely there's a balance between justice and mercy.
Thank you, Colin. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be back with more Raymond Arroyo. on Catholic Answers Live. 888-318-7884 is the number. But if you want to talk with Raymond, you better start dialing that phone because these lines are filling up. We'll be right back with more Catholic Answers Live.
Catholic Answers Live.
Widely regarded as the premier magazine of Catholic apologetics and evangelization, our award-winning Catholic Answers magazine features the articles you want by the authors you know and respect. Year after year, Catholic Answers magazine has been bringing the very best teachers the Catholic world has to offer into thousands of homes on a regular basis. Top-notch writers like Jimmy Akin, Trent Horn, Mark Brumley, Tim Staples, Carlo Brissard, and Matt Nelson. The list goes on and on. It makes a perfect gift for family and friends, students, priests, and seminarians. Just about anybody you know. And of course, don't forget about a subscription for yourself. Phone 888-291-8000 or go to shop.catholic.com to subscribe today. Share the faith. Defend the faith. Catholic Answers Magazine from Catholic Answers, the most trusted name in Catholic apologetics.
Hi, this is Trent Horn, and I'm here to tell you about my new book, Hard Sayings, A Catholic Approach to Answering Bible Difficulties. Have you ever read something in the Bible that confused you? Or has a skeptic ever asked you to explain a scandalous passage and you didn't know what to say? Doesn't Genesis contradict science? Why does the Bible promote slavery? How could God order his people to kill women and children? It's happened to just about everyone. But now you have a place to turn for the answers. In Hard Sayings, I look at dozens of the most confounding passages in Scripture and offer clear, reasonable, and Catholic keys to unlocking their true meaning. After reading this book, you'll be equipped to answer the toughest questions skeptics ask about the Bible. So don't be left without an answer again. Order your copy of Hard Sayings today by calling 1-888-291-8000, by visiting the shop at Catholic.com, or by asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
Coming up right after Catholic Answers Live today on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network, Sean McAfee will be Marcus Grody's guest on The Journey Home. Sean is a convert to the Catholic faith who started out a Southern Baptist, and he's also the editor of Catholic Answers Magazine's online edition. In addition, he's the author of Filling Our Father's House. Be sure to catch Sean McAfee on The Journey Home with Marcus Grody coming up right after Catholic Answers Live, right here on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. Raymond Arroyo is our guest today, which means our radio show is better than yours today. What, I don't care who you got on, ours is better than yours today. 888-318-7884 is the number to get us here at Catholic Answers Live. And we go to, wait a second, I've lost, did you move it on me? Oh, Andrew in Massachusetts listening on the Catholic Answers app. Andrew, thanks for waiting. You are on with Raymond Arroyo. What's your question?
Hi, Raymond. I really appreciate the opportunity to talk to you.
Great to talk with you.
I bought your Mother Angelica book, the audio book, and yes. Then recently I bought your Will Wilder, the first one. And how do you do all those voices? I mean, you do a very good job with that.
Well, thank you for listening. I'm glad you got it. I was an actor in my previous life, and when I write. I used to get thrown out of class for imitating teachers and the Christian brothers who were my teachers, and whether they were male or female, I would sort of imitate them all. And though the kids laughed, the teachers often didn't. Now I guess I get paid for doing all of that. I've always been a terrible mimic or good mimic, and that upsets some people and delights others. Mother Angelica always loved when I did her voice. So when I did the biography and then some of the other books, even the meditations I did later for her, edited later for her, including the last book, Mother Angelica, Her Grand Silence, which is the sequel to the biography, I do all the voices there, and including mothers. So when I went to do Will Wilder, I hear those voices and do them as I'm writing sometimes, muttering to myself largely. So it was very natural to go into the audio suite and do the audiobooks. You're hearing the way, what I like to say is when you listen to the audiobook, you're really hearing it the way I hear it when I write. That's how I hear it. And it's that
passionate and dramatic, and the colors are more interesting, I think, than what's even on the written page. So it's a fun way to experience it. A lot of families have written me and said, you know, we listened to Will Wilder on the, you know, school, way to school every morning, and the kids were late going into class because they wanted to hear how the chapter ended. So I love that. It's another, you know, it's another way of telling the story, and I'm you know, a storyteller, so I'm delighted that you enjoy it that way.
Thanks, Andrew. And Raymond, when you say you, we're hearing it the way you hear it, do you, and I heard a little comment that you made about a psychologist who took an interest in you one day, but do you actually, like, you actually hear this, or do you kind of have the conversation over and over in your head until you feel like you've got it the way you want it?
Well,
how does that work?
Well, the characters, as an actor, I build the characters in a work of fiction the same way I would if I were doing that part on a stage. You look for clues in that character's background and in the dialogue that sort of indicates how that person sounds and walks and vocal tics, and you sort of work all of that in. And I make those same kind of meticulous notes in building the characters in the Will Wilder series. So when Aunt Lucille speaks, I know exactly how she sounds. I know how Will sounds. I know how his mother and his father sounds. There's a mayor. There's a mayoress in town, Mayor Ava Lynch. I know exactly how she sounds. So usually when I'm editing, I'm listening to see how the words are colliding and stacking up, and I'll really do a mini performance as I'm editing. And as I told the other day, I think you heard a little of this.
Yes.
I often write in the corner of a coffee house, and in the afternoons I usually edit. And for many, many weeks, this woman would come in to get coffee at around 3 o'clock in the afternoon, and she'd watch me. You can tell when people are watching. She would watch me, look over at me. And I'm muttering to myself in the corner, and I'm doing all the voices. Well, one day, after several weeks, she came over to me, and I'm in the middle of the edit, and she slides a business card next to my computer. And she said, "Sir, I don't mean to interrupt you, but are you hearing voices?" And I looked down, and she was a psychologist from a very esteemed university near where I live. And I think she was offering professional help. But I told her, no, yes, I hear voices, but I get paid to make you hear them. So it's okay. I'm perfectly fine. I don't need the therapy, at least not now. I may need therapy for other reasons, but not for the voices. No, it's for me, it's a performance. And audiobooks are performance art because you can often bring out things that you can't communicate on the page. Little nuances, intentions and colors and humor that isn't always apparent on the page.
Yeah.
So I like that. I love the audiobooks. It's just a different experience. And people apparently like it. You know, they feel they get lost in the world a little easier that way.
I like books that have a map at the beginning of them. And I wonder, do you actually, like, when you're, so I don't know if plotting or you're working things out, do you look at that map, or do you have that map in your head? Like, you know what
peril
is. Well,
no, I draw the map. I drew this map the on the end pages of both the Will Wilder, The Lost Staff of Wonders, the newest book, and the first Will Wilder book. There are maps of the town of Perilous Falls on the end pages. I drew a map, nothing as beautiful as that, but, a sketch of the streets, where they are, where the different houses and buildings were, just so I could keep track of them.
Yeah.
I also sketch all the buildings. I mean, I know where Will's bedroom is. I know where his kitchen is. I know where his little brother and sister are. So, so you can keep your world straight in your own mind. I have binders that, you know, I have a character binder with all of the character sketches. I have pictures I put in there. I do my own notes. And then I have a separate binder with just locations, Perilous Falls, the map, and, you know, all that kind of background material. So what that does is keep me honest from book to book. When you're dealing with a multi-book series, you've got to keep referring to these places, so you don't want to suddenly move, Peniel, which is the museum at the center of town. You don't want to have it moved to a different street or a different place,
right,
because the kids will catch you. And I've noticed that. I mean, I had an error the first time the first book in the galley form, there were a couple of errors, and it was children who caught me, and I fixed it before publication. So it's okay. There are no mistakes in the published versions, but there was one, and it was a location thing where I had slipped and inadvertently put one building where it shouldn't have been. And the kids are very attentive to all of that. So I'm very meticulous about building the world and being true to it. And, you know, as a writer, I try to also create a coherent moral universe for the kids. I hate books with a fractured moral universe. I've never liked that. You know, the mysteries I always hated as a kid were the ones where the guy got away with it, you know?
Yeah.
Or the worst is when the narrator is the murderer and they're lying to you the whole time. There's nothing worse than that. You feel cheated, and you feel cheated of justice. And I'm one of these people that I'd rather have anything else. You could do anything to me, but at the end of the day, I just want justice done. And I think children are certainly like that.
Oh, yes.
Very fair.
Right.
And I think most of us are like that, particularly Catholics.
Raymond Arroyo is our guest today on Catholic Answers Live. Will Wilder, The Lost Staff of Wonders, the second book in the Will Wilder series, drops tomorrow into bookstores. 888-318-7884 is the number here. Catherine in Ohio, listening on Living Bread Radio 89.5. You are on with Raymond Arroyo. Catherine, what's your question?
Yes, good evening. I just wanted to mention that I have used the Will Wilder, the first book, in my tutoring work with children, and it's wonderful how they enjoy the books, and I'm glad you're going to keep it coming, Raymond.
Well, thank you, Catherine. What great work
sure.
you're doing. I'm delighted to hear that you're using it that way.
Well, fourth through sixth, and it really does, you know, prime the pump for their creativity. And what you said about a comprehensible world in terms of, you know, justice and charity and adventure and virtue, it's a very powerful thing.
Thank you. I tried to layer all of that in. And you know, you know this from working with children. They want to understand the world, but, you know, this series is really about the clash of good and evil. This is the old battle between good and evil. It's the story that everyone has been writing about from time immemorial. You know, right. I just have a 12-year-old here, you know, caught in the middle of the action. And I think for children, you want to give them a strong sense of the nature of good and the nature of evil. And I try to be very honest about that in the context of a fantasy and in the context of a 12-year-old's, you know, capability of appreciating it. But there are truths here, and there are deep, you know, realities that I am indicating and pointing them towards that I think they intuit. Kids are much more perceptive and wise than we give them credit for, I've discovered.
Oh, yeah, and we're the ones who profit so deeply spiritually when we tap into that and see it before our eyes. It's interesting because I have a lot of children, 4 through 6, who want to begin The Lord of the Rings after they read The Hobbit.
Mm.
So what I've done in some cases is introduce them to The Hobbit, and then they're really into it. And then I take them to the first Will Wilder book because I'd rather do that and then draw them into The Lord of the Rings.
Yeah, The Lord of the Rings can be a bit
It's a little young for that.
Well, that's exactly right.
Yep.
This is a middle grade book. You know, my book is really for 7 to 14-year-olds. And, you know, I find my children love The Lord of the Rings, but, you know, my middle son kind of, it was a steep climb for him.
Yeah.
The pacing of it was difficult for him. And you know, some of the rhymes and the, you know, those ballads that he has in the middle, you know, it was not always an easy read. My older son had an easier time with it. So I do think every child is going to come, they're ready for certain books. And The Lord of the Rings is a great one. I'm not sure every child is ready for it. You know, at 10 or 15 even.
Thanks, Catherine. Appreciate that call. We got to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with more from Raymond Arroyo on Catholic Answers Live. Be right back.
Catholic Answers. Our success depends on you.
With his new DVD, Understanding Revelation, Decoding the Bible's Most Mysterious Book, Jimmy Akin unlocks the secrets of Revelation so that anyone can understand them. Packed with almost 2 hours of eye-opening material, it paints an entirely different picture of the book of Revelation than the one most people already have. The book of Revelation was meant to reveal God's message to his church. And in Understanding Revelation, Jimmy Akin shows you how it does exactly that. Order your copy of Understanding Revelation today by calling 1-888-291-8000, logging on to Catholic.com, or asking for it at a good Catholic bookstore near you.
St. John Paul II stated that, for the disciple of Christ, evangelization is a duty, an obligation of love. And the Catechism of the Catholic Church states that evangelization is necessary for salvation.
So we know we're called, but how do we do it?
St. Paul Street Evangelization can help. To learn more, contact us at streetevangelization.com. That's streetevangelization.com.
The Catholic Answers Minute. I'm Father Vincent Serpa. In Matthew 25:31, Jesus told his disciples that when he comes in his glory, he will sit on his throne with all the nations assembled before him. He will then separate them as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. Those on his right will inherit the kingdom prepared from the foundation of the world. He will explain, "For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. A stranger, and you welcomed me. Naked, and you clothed me. Ill, and you cared for me. In prison, and you visited me. Whatever you did for one of the least of my brothers, you did for me." Who are the least of his brothers in our lives? Someone we don't like or don't care to know? The unborn children for whom we have done nothing to protect? There are no doubt others. Really, who are the faces of Christ we fail to recognize? I'm Father Vincent Serpa for Catholic Answers, Catholic.com.
Call now with your question, 888-318-7884. This is Catholic Answers Live.
Our guest, Raymond Arroyo, has a brand new book coming out tomorrow, the second book in the Will Wilder series, Will Wilder, The Lost Staff of Wonders. And he's taking calls on pretty much anything. I think we've run the gamut so far, but, well, maybe not. There's probably more gamut to run. We go to Adam in New Orleans, Louisiana, listening on WQNO. Adam, you are... Oh, you know that?
New Orleans. Right. I'm a New Orleans boy. I was just there for Mardi Gras. I had a great time. Go ahead.
All right, Adam.
I'm sorry, Adam.
Good evening, gentlemen. Greetings from home, Raymond.
Hey.
I even believe that some of your family and mine may have been living in the same neighborhood during my childhood. So, greetings again, buddy. And I'm also a product of the New Orleans Catholic schools. I've been listening to your news programs for quite some time now, Raymond. And I truly appreciate their candid nature. And I want to refer to a current subject, and that is the controversial nature of Amoris Laetitia.
Mm-hmm.
I truly appreciate your coverage of that. Many of us down here are concerned about it. And your guests on your show have been wonderful as well.
Thank you.
The problem is, Raymond, I'm not hearing anyone else in the Catholic media or in our churches speaking to this, and I'm speaking particularly to the receipt of the Holy Eucharist while living in the state of sin.
Yeah.
It's got much of us concerned right now. I understand that concern may spread throughout the country.
Well, it's spreading around the world. I mean, the problem is this. Certainly people are confused. Individual Catholics are confused. But the problem is, you now have the German bishop saying, you may come to communion after a little accompaniment with your mistress, essentially, and come to communion with a clean conscience if you feel that you're trying to reach the Lord. And the Maltese bishops have come to a similar thing. But if you go to America, you can't do that. You need an annulment to get communion. So we are in a situation where I think you have bishops' conferences coming down on one side or the other of Amoris Laetitia, and the tension and the pressure is rising. Eventually, the Holy Father is going to have to clarify this. This is what the so-called dubia of those five cardinals, which represent, I think, the questions of many more cardinals than that, is all about. You saw Archbishop Chaput in Philadelphia saying that it's time for the Holy Father to answer the dubia and clarify this, that it's, we can't have this kind of confusion going on. So we'll see what happens. But certainly the way that Amoris Laetitia is written, it is open to interpretation, and it seems to indicate that one can approach the communion rail without having an annulment and living with someone who is not your wife. I mean, that's what it appeared to do in the name of mercy. And we'll have to see. We'll have to see when the Holy Father clarifies this. And, eventually it will happen. It has to.
888-318-7884 is the number. Thank you, Adam, for that. You know, when you approach the news, Raymond, and there are these unclarities within the church, how I suppose I want to say, like, how sensitive does that is that for you personally? Like, how do you know? Well, I need to report the news honestly and be as clear as I can. But I also am a loyal, faithful son of the church. I mean, how do you balance all that out?
You know, it's for me, it's not all that difficult. I don't anguish over it ever. You know, Mother Angelica hired me to do this job, and I was a journalist before I came to EWT, and I'll be a journalist, you know, whether I stay or leave. Mother Angelica, she always said, look, I know you could work other places, but there's one thing you have here that you won't have anywhere else, and that's the freedom to report the truth.
Mm-hmm.
As you see it. Now, I'm not always 100% right, and here's the good news. I'm not the Pope, so people don't look to me and shouldn't look to me, nor do I ever hold our show up or myself up as the, you know, final word on anything. I am one who inquires. They call us members of the press because we press, we push, we struggle to get an answer from those who can offer them. That's my job. My job is to honestly hold up what's happening and to beg the question. It's up to others to make the final determination and to discern the truth or the confusion in a situation. But I try to bring as much clarity and truth to it, and that's not always easy to do. There's a cost to the truth. Pope Benedict used to talk about this. There's a penalty and a cost to reporting the truth, and I can attest to some of that. I mean, I've got the scars to show for things I've written in books, in articles, things I've reported on the show. Not everybody's going to be happy. Truth is not always, it doesn't always go down like a Chianti. There are other days when it really goes down nicely. This is uncomfortable when you're reporting on something, you know, of papal teaching and people disagreeing and cardinals, you know, at each other. But I try to do it coldly and cleanly and with charity, but always, always with an eye for my audience and a commitment to truth. That's what I'm going to answer for. Were you as truthful as you could have been? Did you ask all the questions you could? And did you honor your audience? If I do that, we'll be fine. And that's been my kind of marching orders and watchwords every step of the way.
We go now to Andrew in Santa Cruz, California, listening on 1200 AM. Andrew, you are on with Raymond Arroyo.
Hey.
Hey.
Hey, I just wanted to let you know that I absolutely love your book, and I'm really, really looking forward to the next one.
Oh, Andrew, you have made my day. How old are you, Andrew?
I'm 14.
I love it. You know, Andrew, you are really who I wrote those books for, and I think you're going to love the second Will Wilder book. In fact, I tell you what, guys, if you can take Andrew's address, not on air, don't give it to us on air, Andrew, but they'll put you on hold and take your address, I'm going to send you an audio book of the second Will Wilder book so you can hear it.
Thank you so much.
Okay. Thank you, Andrew.
Awesome.
Now, hold on there, Andrew. Don't hang up. Just stay
online. Don't hang up. They'll get your address, and I'll send it out to you. But I am so elated. How did you get it? How did you come across it? Did your mom or dad buy it for you?
Well, I went to your Elevate conference in Santa Clara.
Oh, I love it.
And I listened to you speak, and then I saw the book, and it looked really interesting. So my mom got it for me, and then I think I got it signed by you. And I'm just really looking forward to the next one.
Well, you have made my night. I thank you. Thank you so much. And you will love the second one. It moves a lot quicker than the first one, and there's mysteries, and Will's Aunt Lucille is in trouble, and the staff goes missing. And, you know, the staff of Moses, I didn't know any of this about the staff of Moses until I started, you know, doing research for this. I went and read a lot of the Jewish sources, the Midrash and other things. The staff of Moses in the Jewish sources is sapphire. It's made of sapphire. And I didn't realize this, but the staff of Moses is also the archetype for the Excalibur, King Arthur's Excalibur. You know how King Arthur pulled the sword from the stone, and that's how they knew he was king? In the Old Testament, Moses falls in love with this girl. He goes to Jethro's house, and who is the girl's father, and the father says, go in the backyard, pull the staff up from a little tree, pull it up from the ground, and if you can pull it up, you can have my daughter's hand in marriage. Well, a number of suitors tried it, and they died trying to do it. Moses goes in the backyard, pulls up the staff. It comes out of the ground for him, and that's how he not only becomes the leader of the people, but he gets the girl in the process. So that it's interesting how that staff of Moses in literature affected so many other stories, and it goes on and on. Every time you see or read about a magic wand or a magical staff, all of that has its roots in the staff of Moses. So you'll learn a lot reading the book, and you'll see some of that in the story. So thank you, Andrew, for the call and for reading.
Yeah, thanks for accepting my call.
Well, not at all.
And Andrew, hang on. We go now to Amy in Bradford, Virginia, watching on Facebook. Amy, you are on with Raymond Arroyo. What's your question?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. My question is, I recently went, I wouldn't say toe-to-toe, but I tried my abilities of apologetics, and I failed. So I'm going to hand you the question.
Uh-oh.
I always get the question, why are Catholics considered, or why are they pagans? And because the question that I was handed was, it's always because of purgatory.
Wait, why are we pagans? Why are Catholics pagans?
Yes.
And it's because of purgatory that we're pagans?
Trust me, there's tons of them. But that's one of the reasons why we're considered pagans.
I don't even understand the question. I mean, Amy, not to, I don't mean to disparage your question, but whoever's posing it to you should go back and rewrite it. Pagans are one who don't believe. Those are people who don't believe. So instantly they're in trouble because a belief in purgatory, and you guys at Catholic Answers are better at this than I am, but the Lord said, and in the Gospels it's repeated, that nothing impure will enter the kingdom of heaven. So we've got to be pretty clean, squeaky clean by the time we go to the eternal reward. So assuming we have a few, marks on our soul on the way out, purgatory is a blessed place because it's a place for you to clean up. It's kind of like the car wash. To me, it's a great backstop. Hey, I'd love to hang out in purgatory for a little bit. It beats the alternative, you know? But the scripture is very clear about, and even in the Old Testament, it talks about being tried by fire. Guys, you know the proof texts better than I. I'm sure Cy can help you with some of them. But this is a long-established Catholic belief, but it is substantiated by the Scripture. This is not something somebody made up one afternoon. And if you approach your salvation in fear and trembling, one would imagine then the once saved, always saved, thing doesn't really add up. Because then what would you fear or tremble over if you're once saved, always saved, and your salvation is just guaranteed because of belief in Jesus? Even he says, many will say, Lord, Lord, and not enter the kingdom of heaven, right? So I think, yeah, but don't let anybody tell you you're a pagan for believing in purgatory. I mean, a pagan is one who has not received the truth in any way. That's a pagan, so... I hope you're not that.
And Amy, first, what Raymond was referring to, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, it's the most obvious biblical, I mean, there's others, but it's the most obvious biblical reference to purgatory. I couldn't have made a better answer than that. You're wrong about that, Raymond Arroyo. I couldn't
have made a better answer. Had I had Corinthians 3, I would have been good at it, but...
Well, thank you so much. Well, first of all, Amy, thank you for that call. And Raymond, thank you for taking the time with us the day before your book comes out. I know you're very busy. I appreciate you coming on with us on Catholic Answers Live.
I'm delighted. Well, I'm delighted that families will be reading Will Wilder, and I encourage you to get the book for friends and family, particularly as confirmation or Easter gifts. They are wonderful gifts, and the whole family can experience the Will Wilder adventure together, which is my favorite way to see families enjoy it.
Will Wilder, The Lost Staff of Wonders, is the book that comes out tomorrow. Raymond Arroyo, our guest, is the author. Enjoy the book. And tomorrow, open forum on Catholic Answers Live. We'll see you then.